The fact that nothing was called Christianity does not mean it did not exist. It existed, but in a hidden, anonymous, and latent manner. It achieved its highest revelation, explicitness, and patency in Jesus. The earth was always round even before Magellan demonstrated it. South America did not begin to exist when discovered by Christopher Columbus. It already existed, though it was not explicitly known. It is likewise with Christianity and Christ. Christ revealed the existence of Christianity within human reality. Hence, he gave Christianity its name, just as Amerigo Vespucci, the second discoverer of America, gave his name to the discovered continent. Saint Augustine, who well understood this reality, could say, the substance of what we call Christianity already existed in ancient times and was present ever since the beginnings of humanity. When Christ finally appeared in the flesh, what always existed was called the Christian religion. Hence, we can assert that Christianity is as extensive as the human world. It could exist before Christ and can still exist today outside of Christian limits, where the word Christianity is neither used nor known. Moreover, Christianity can exist even where, because of erroneous consciousness, it is combated and persecuted. That's by Leonardo Boff. There can be no taking of our lands. Under the assumption that it's all being done for God. Because according to some of the church's finest minds, we're already Christian. The beauty of that statement rests in the fact that there is no moral justification for the taking of our lands today. I think one of the questions that the commission should examine is just that. Under what moral pretext are our lands now being held, or under what moral pretext are they being taken? I had taken a sneak look at a paper that was presented by the historian Lewis Hankey. The thing that caught my attention was the statement to the effect that the jury is still out on whether the special place of Alaska Natives in the U.S. is absolute or unqualified. And he says, while the government and the people of the U.S. accept some moral responsibility for their fate, Congress must always keep in mind other considerations such as military defense and economic matters. There is no moral basis for the stealing of our lands, not in the 20th century. You know, I enjoyed the statement that Willow made earlier today. I'm glad I caught her presentation and what she was talking about, the brotherhood, that nebulous brotherhood. My grandfather belonged to that brotherhood. My grandfather ran away from home. He was heading for anywhere but Alaska. But he caught gold fever and decided to become rich. And his desire to become rich set off a whole flurry of family activity. My grandfather was an intruder. On both sides. My mom's mom was from the lower Kuskokwim. My grandmother's people extended the likes of people like my grandfather a warm welcome. But I don't think they ever thought that that things would take the turn that it has, in that the guests, the people of the guests, have just overrun the country to the extent that my grandmother's people have to ask for the land back. And what's interesting, to go back and examine God's book. In it, the Lord told the early Israelites, the Hebrews, that the stranger is welcome. Never molest the stranger, because they themselves were strangers in an alien land. Although they had never heard of God's law, they welcomed the people that came in God's name, who have stolen the land, following the precepts of the Lord. We lost the land. That's a hell of a notion. You see, the beauty of Leonardo Boff's statement also shows, shows that theology has become so refined that we can do without Christianity. And I mean Christianity as it has been brought north. Their book has been violated by them so often that it just makes you want to puke. The early Judaic concept of land is not unlike that of my mom's mom, my grandmother's people. The Hebrews were specifically told by God, after he led them into a land flowing with milk and honey, that they were to never sell the land, that the land was not for sale, that it belonged to him, and that we were nothing more than sojourners on his land. That what if one sold the land, title would never be transferred. The sale of land, as the early Hebrews understood it, was nothing more than the sale of the use of that land. And that if that land or the use of the land were sold, after 50 years, that land would be returned to its rightful owner. The Jewish people, the early Jewish people, had a fine sense for the meaning of land. It It was never to be sold. Because once you alter the relationship of a people to his land, you truly alter the people itself. The American Catholic bishops, in their struggle to come to grips with the economic problems of the country, have run across the problem of land, too. It seems that that very same corporate structure that we're dealing with in Alaska is a problem for the citizens of that great country called the United States. It seems that this country will not be satisfied until they run the people off their land who feed them. That's the nature, that's the very nature of the people that we're dealing with. One of the bishops, in examining the plight of the American farmers, had this to say about land. Bishop Strecker of Kansas City. Ownership of land is power. There is a moral involvement here, and that is the freedom of the people. It reaches a point where a few people can totally control the freedom of the rest of society. The ownership of land back home has changed. What was once our land has been conveyed by the government to state chartered corporations. We don't own the land anymore. The land is owned by corporations. Corporations can dispose of the land any way they like to. Lands that we used south of the Naknek River in our hunt for caribou and moose are not our lands. They're others. So that periodically we're notified by our southern brethren that we're trespassers. We're trespassers because we're hunting on lands other than our own. I helped the village select its lands when I was young, naive. one of the stipulations that we agreed upon with the village of South Naknek so that we wouldn't get into a fight. And we did want to avoid conflict, was that we would make all our selections north of the river. That seemed reasonable to me at the time. We all live north of the river. And that they would make their selections to the south. They lived south of the river. It never entered my mind that what we were doing was restricting our access to game, the moose and caribou. By all rights, if they wanted to, they could be real, real mean people, the boys south. And they could say, stay off our land. You've got no business here. And as I said, you know, the comment has been made that when we crossed the river to hunt, that we're no longer on our homeland.
On tomorrow morning, if you like, Mr. Gottschalk.
I think I would prefer to continue, if you don't mind. Because this is the last time I'm coming before a body such as this. This commission wasn't put together just for the hell of it, Mr. Justice. You were summoned to tell the people in the lower 48 that they're boxing us into a corner. For the first time in our history, we're going to be forced to fight for the land. And that upsets me. For the first time, Justice Berger, I fear that blood is going to spill on the tundra over the land. what we are all witnessing is a final posturing to avoid direct confrontation. You know, already airplanes have been shot at, float planes, floats punctured. Hell has been raised over sportsmen. And it isn't going to get any better, not under the current system. And it seems that nothing short of the spilling of blood will gain congressional attention. You know, my family is no different than any of the other families. I come from a family that has a long, long, long history of being outlaws. All you have to do is look at the court record. And the people back home, those people who feed their family from the land, are the same way. They've been breaking laws to feed their family. And nothing is going to stop them from feeding their family because there's nothing else on the tundra but food for them. To digress for a moment, I would like to say regarding the settlement and the kids that are born after 71, that the kids have to be included. It can't go up for some vote as to whether or not to include the children. One of the basic criterion for determining the success of a man is how well they take care of their kids. No man abandons his children. It's unnatural. And yet, we're asked to consider whether or not we'd open up our hearts to our kids. I've had a number of interesting discussions with some of the regional corporate people back home, and they said, one of the regional corporation fellows said, you don't have any children. We can't have children. Opening up the corporation to those with families to accommodate the afterborns would only dilute your stock, the value of your stock. Well, it may be that I don't have any kids, but I certainly can appreciate the value of life. Namely, my brothers and sisters' kids, my nieces and nephews. Now, I want the record to show for them that I'll always fight for them. For their right to the land. I've made the decision, Mr. Justice, you know, after some interesting deliberation with my family back home, that I'd move to the north side of the river. I have been wandering for a long time. I've decided that now is the time to go home. There's nothing more that can be done anywhere else for the kids except to go home. You know, I've lived all over. But I've only considered that windswept village as home. My only home. Treeless wasteland. A man has only one home. So, in closing, I'd like to leave you with that statement by Boff.
Thank you.
I cannot impress upon you enough the fact that this commission is probably the last forum that we have. And I hope and have hoped that through your stature, you can convey to your brethren the gravity of the problem. Because if they don't understand it, if they cannot hear one of their own, they will never, never hear us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gottschalk. Well, I want to thank Mr. Gottschalk, and I want to thank everybody who spoke today. 25 people spoke today, and it has been a good day, and I thank you all. I think we'll adjourn now, and we'll reconvene at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I urge you to come back then, and we'll start again. So thank you very much.
Like grabbing a Pardon?